Harald Noom was full-grown man, so he was called the Most High. Of course, the sun doesn't get any higher than High Noon, so it was the Most High. And then at night, when God's Son leaves the world, he leaves his spirit, and consequently God's Son is left. And just as you have seen him leave on a cloud, he will come again on a cloud. And as I said, that's exactly how the sun does leave every night, is on a cloud. And every morning the sun comes back on another cloud. Consequently, when the God's Son was born in the morning, his name was Horus, and he was risen on the Horus Rising. And he had an evil brother. His evil brother was called Set, and he was referred to as the Prince of Darkness. S-E-T, Set, was the Prince of Darkness, the evil brother of God's Son, Horus. And incidentally, the Prince of Darkness came out at Sun Set. And so all of this stuff about the Prince of Darkness and the boogeyman's going to get you and all of that, oh yeah, there is a very, very important personification of demonic presence in the world, but the Christians haven't got a handle on it yet. They're going to find out pretty soon they've been had big time. So there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no big mystery about that. Here's the triune, at the Theban triad. In the city of Thebes, there was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Father, Son, triad, another Trinity God. Here's another one from Memphis, another triune God. Here's the triune God of the resurrection. Here in Hindu mythology, the Hindu triad, as we have seen, the idea of the triad of gods is rooted in the earliest Indian beliefs and seems to have had its origin in solar cult, for the three-bodied sun, the solar cult, from which the Hebrews get God's Son and gave us Christianity, the worship of God's Son, so we can get on our knees and worship the old solar god. The ancient gods of the sun, the triune God. Even in China, they had the triune God. In Crete, they had the triune God. In Africa, they had the triune God. And the Christians have the nerve to tell people, well, it's a great mystery. Hell, everything in life is a mystery if you're ignorant. Just go to the library and read, it won't be a mystery. It's all sun worship. You've been had. Wake up. Intellectual and spiritual enlightenment in the mind. That's why God's Son represented intellectual and spiritual enlightenment. And you always put to death the light and the truth. When you put to death the truth and the light, you're putting to death God's Son. And you always put to death the truth and the light in your head. When you don't want to hear intellectual or spiritual enlightenment, you put to death God's Son in your head. That's why God's Son died on Golgotha, skull place, place of the skull. And he was brought before the kings and brought before the religious leaders, and was, what's the word I'm trying to find? The whole idea of the side of the head is your temple. And he was being tried in the temple. That's why you put to the trial as in your head, whether you're able to understand intellectual and spiritual enlightenment in your head. So God's Son is being tried in the temple. And therefore, if you turn away from the intellectual, spiritual enlightenment because the person giving it to you is too brilliant and the light is too bright, and you turn away from it because you don't want to see it, then you have put to death God's Son in your head, skull place. And of course, you always put to death the light of truth in your head between two thieves. The regret for the past and fear of the future. It's the two thieves that rob you of your life because you're always worrying about what you didn't do and what you're going to do. And so the light of intellectual, spiritual enlightenment dies in Golgotha between the two thieves that rob you. Here's Jesus as the good shepherd carrying the little lamb. Incidentally, the reason why Christians are called sheep is because sheep are the dumbest animals in the world. You don't get no dumber than sheep. Sheep are designed to be fleeced and then eaten. Serious. When the last time you ever saw a smart sheep? Sheep fall in a hole and they just sit there. It could be a half a foot deep and they'll just sit there because they're too stupid to know how to back out of a hole.
So they on their back, they die.
Yeah. That's it. So here's Jesus holding up, carrying the sheep. However, back in Rome, Mithra in the Roman Empire carried the sheep on his shoulders. Back in Greece, Hermes carried the sheep on his shoulders. Yeah, back in, this goes all the way back to the ancient Hittite stone, where the ancient Hittites, God's son, carried the sheep on his shoulder. So when you go back to the ancient Hittite world, the Messiah or the God's son carried the sheep on his shoulder. The ancient Greeks before the Roman Empire, God's son carried the sheep on his shoulder. Then in Rome, Mithra, God's son, carried the sheep on his shoulder. And today we have Jesus carrying the sheep on his shoulder. It's all the same story. That's why the Bible is called the greatest story ever told. It's the only story it's ever told. Here we have in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, talking about the seven-headed dragon. The seven-headed dragon in the book of Revelation. And Christians and all these Channel 40 and all these clergy are running around talking about the seven-headed dragon and the end of the world and the last days and send a check and crawl on your knees and can't wait for Israel and God's chosen people to rebuild the great Peter Temple and just can't wait for all this wonderful holiness that's going to happen. And we swear to God we're going to give it to you just as soon as that big Peter is fixed. We're going to give it to everybody. And the whole world is going to be in that new world order. Yeah, the whole world is going to come into that new world order. Yeah. Well, I've had enough of that stuff. So here's the seven-headed beast, the seven-headed dragon of Revelation. There it is again, seven-headed dragon in the book of Revelation. Now, what the Holy of Holy reverends on television don't tell you is that the seven-headed dragon, or the devil, the dragon, is thrown into the abyss, Revelation 20. That seven-headed dragon goes all the way back to the ancient Grecian Empire when Apollonius, which was a symbol of the sun, the young man, God's son, did battle with the seven-headed dragon. So here we have it in the book of Revelation, but here we have, before the Roman Empire ever existed, the Greek god Apollos, which was a sun, did battle with the seven-headed dragon. Before that, we have the Hindus that did the battle with the seven-headed dragon. Here we have again Krishna, or the Christ one, or Krishna, defeating the seven-headed dragon in the ancient Hindu. Here is in the ancient Hercules slaying Hydra, the seven-headed dragon. This one goes all the way back to the seven-headed dragon battling the gods taken from the old Akkadian Babylonian. We're talking about Akkadian Babylonian at least 5,900 years ago. So all this stuff in the book of Revelation about the seven-headed dragon and the Holy of Holies and all that stuff, better do your homework. I think that's it for tonight, because we'll get into all the scriptures and we won't, depending on how much time and what time it is now, it's 7:30.
Somebody hit the light back.
Let's have the lights. We are into occult symbolism of Mithra and Prometheus. We can do that in a little bit, depending on